One of the great joys of retirement is plenty of time to read. One of the people I have been reading is a theologian who, for a time at least, was the New Testament and theology professor at Notre Dame. Her name is Elizabeth Fiorenza. One of the statements that she makes is that gospel is not a historical account, but rather an invitation. If that is true, then one way to read scripture is always to have in the back of our minds that question: to what are we being invited? Peter and James and John were invited by Jesus to go up with him to the top of the mountain to pray. I suspect they went expecting to be led in prayer by Jesus, kind of a special retreat just for them. It wasn't unusual for Jesus to draw his disciples apart to rest and to pray. In any case, the three watched in awe as Jesus' face and garments changed. His clothing became dazzling white. He was shining. Now, being good Jewish men, familiar with the scripture, Peter, James, and John would have recognized what was happening. They would have known that they were seeing no less than the glorification of Jesus. Glory most often is identified by the presence of an intense light. And this intense light indicates the special presence of God. In glory, there is power, the power of God. Peter and James and John were probably reminded of other times in Israel's history when the presence of God, when the glory had been seen and felt. And one of those times would have been the events on Mount Sinai that we read about today, when God, through Moses, gave humanity the Ten Commandments. We heard a bit of that story in our own lesson from Hebrews today, from the Hebrew scripture today. One of the problems with scripture readings is that we only get a snippet. Some of you may be old enough to remember a radio personality called Paul Harvey. His familiar tagline, "Now for the rest of the story." Let me give you a bit more of the story of how Israel and Moses and God and the Ten Commandments all came together in covenant. Relatively soon after leaving Egypt, within the first year of the 40 years, the children of Israel arrived at the base of Mount Sinai, and they camped there for a very long time. And while they were there, Moses was called up to the top of the mountain to encounter God. And this happened many times while they were there. On that first encounter, God began negotiations that would result in the covenant with Israel. God said to Moses, "If you and the people of Israel obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all people." And so Moses goes down the mountain and gathers the people and tells them what God has said. And the people respond in one voice, "Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do." They didn't have any idea what they were getting into. At that point, Moses gives the people the tablet with the Ten Commandments. And to make a long story shorter, Moses goes back up the mountain several more times as God elaborates the covenant. On one occasion, he was gone for 40 days and 40 nights, which is just a poetic way of saying he was gone a very long time. And the people became anxious, and then uneasy, and then frightened. And finally, they became terrified. So they go to Aaron and ask him for an idol, something like what they had in Egypt. Something that they can see and worship so that they might be safe. They transferred their faith and their trust from God to an inanimate object made by human hands. And that's how we got the golden calf. Well, God, who sees everything, was furious. And so he tells Moses he's going to destroy the people and start all over again. And Moses pleads with God for another chance. And so after some heavy punishment and a temper tantrum by Moses, in which he throws down that tablet with the Ten Commandments and breaks them, a new tablet is prepared and God relents. And Israel continues to be the people of God. And what we learn here is that when the response to an invitation of God is imperfect, God gives second chances. God forgives. And God does not abandon his people. So back on that other mountaintop with Jesus and Peter and James and John, they see two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. And even though Luke tells us the disciples were sleepy, they were awake enough to notice two things. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. Remember, glory is the presence of God. God was tangibly present with them there. And the second thing they notice is that Jesus, too, was surrounded by this glory. Moses was there to remind Peter and James and John that in the days ahead, God would be with them, willing, when necessary, to give second and third and fourth chances. Elijah was also on that mountaintop with Jesus. And Elijah also had a message to share. Elijah was a prophet. The work of prophets was to continually invite Israel back into a right or a righteous relationship with God. Elijah's story can be found in the first book of Kings, beginning at the 17th chapter. But if you read that story, you will notice three things. Being a prophet was dangerous. People were always trying to kill the prophets. Being a prophet was difficult, and there was very little reward or respect. And Elijah was often afraid. But if you read his life account, you will also notice that God was always with him, even when Elijah tried very hard to escape God. There's a pattern that emerges when we look at the stories of Moses and Elijah. It was a pattern that was not lost on James and John and Peter. It was a pattern for the way they would live as disciples for the rest of their lives. A pattern also that we are invited to live. First, listen to God's voice wherever you find it, sometimes in the most unusual places. Agree to accept the leading of God, for God never forces us to do anything. And then finally, act on that leading. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were in conversation. And at that time, God revealed to the disciples what would happen when they went to Jerusalem. The disciples were beginning to recognize that Jesus was a prophet. And they were well aware of what happened to prophets. They suffered and died. And so the disciples were naturally afraid. Now, Peter is one of my favorite characters. I think I like Peter so much because he's so human. He gets it, but he usually doesn't quite respond as we might like. He often hedges his bets. And I'll confess to you, I've been tempted to do that a time or two myself. And so the invitation has been given. James and John, Peter, have seen Moses and Elijah. They have seen the glory that they knew was the presence of God. They have heard the words spoken to Jesus by Moses and Elijah. Jesus speaks of his departure, which was accomplished, which was to be accomplished at Jerusalem. And implicit in what the disciples have heard is what Jesus has been saying to them all along. Follow me, even to suffering and death. So now comes the point of decision. And Peter, being Peter, understands what is involved and hesitates. He suggests a safer way. Let's build 3 dwellings. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. It's nice up here. We like it. The view's good. Moses and Elijah have no need to dwell on a mountaintop. And Jesus knows that his ministry is back in Jerusalem. It would be very comfortable. It would be so spiritual to remain where they are. But Jesus knows that he has to go back to the world. And Peter and James and John go with him. God makes it clear that this was not the call to stay where they are. This is my son. Listen to him. That's the invitation to each one of us, to listen to Jesus, to listen to the voice of Jesus wherever you hear it, and to accept the leading of God and act as you are being led. Now, Wednesday, as I'm sure you're all aware, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season we call Lent. It's that preparation for Easter. Traditionally, it's a time of prayer and fasting and self-denial. But perhaps this Lent, there's a different challenge, a different emphasis. Prayer with space to listen for God. And instead of, or perhaps in addition to, giving up something, we take on something. Wait prayerfully for God to tell us what it might be. Accept the leading and step out into something new in faith. Like Moses and the Israelites, you can be sure that you are not required to get it entirely right. You have permission to be imperfect. Like Elijah, you can be sure that God is by your side, and you have permission to risk. And like Peter, you can be sure that you are continually being called faithfully to be who God calls you to be. Have a blessed Lent.